Good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry for being late. Thank you, Brandy, for calling me. I'm getting caught up in doing some work and getting organized here. And
you get lost in time, huh?
I lose track of the time, and it's also because of the holidays, so things are a little bit not normal, as they say.
Right.
Please join me in saying the Anabakos. Anabakos. Gedulat mincha. Together reminds us of the three monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, and especially speak no evil. While during the Dar we're not affected by evil speech, we must caution ourselves not to be saying it so that it will come back to us in the other months. Nagibor Yud Kav Shin is the sequence that we utilize to bring our body parts that need healing back to their stem cell state. And then after they've been cleansed and healed, we will return them to the body where they will again function as they were created to do. Barchem Tacharim Et Reish, Sadi Tav Gimel. Basim Kadosh, Elim Tuchah, Ha'el Ha'adah. Et Reish, Sadi Tav Gimel. Basim Kadosh, Elim Tuchah, Na'el Adata Et Kufet Et Nunayan Yachid Geyeh Ha'anei Do'ovrei Dishata Yudhim Olamet Tei Zayim Kuf Tavatem Kabel Uyad We have the verse for this year from Samuel Betts, and while my Tanakh is still packed, giving you the space to say this verse, so that we can bring peace in the Middle East during this year.
Randall.
Redeemer, come, love me, Israel. Dati, shakam,
dati. And the verse was in a whisper. I'm reading a verse from the Parasha of Vayechayel. I'm reading verse 81 from section 7. Jonah descended into the ship. Vayinoam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh adenu kunenei aleinu maaseh adenu kunenehu. Akailan semech alma alo vadin. Divnein ashabahai alma yonah denachat las. Dai nishmeta devar nash denachta lahai alma lemaeve beufa devar nash amayit kerei yonah begin dekevan deishtach tafar. Begufa kedenihi yonah bahai alma kimadi itmar velatonu ish et amito ukdein barnash azil bahai alma kasvina begoyama rabau dacham shivat Leita bra keda ave ha amia. At all events, we find support here because a verse always retains its literal meaning concerning people's actions in this world. The story of Jonah, who went down into the ship, is analogous to the human soul that descends into this world to dwell in a human body. Why is it called Jonah, which means deceived? Because after it joins the body, it is deceived in this world. That is, by the body, which defrauds it. As was said, you shall not therefore defraud the Hebrew tonu, one another. And then a man walks about this world like a ship in a great ocean, about to break, as it is written, and the ship seemed likely to be wrecked. How many different levels are there to the Torah? It is so beautiful. You have the metaphor, you have the literal level, and yet if you read the Torah literally, the Zohar elsewhere tells us we're fools. And here it's saying, it is still true, literally. And how do we reconcile this? It's really easy to reconcile. If you read it only literally, without making any effort to look at the other levels, you're a fool. And the Zohar actually says some things that are even stronger and worse. If you read it literally, always look for the metaphor as well. There's nothing wrong with reading it literally. But don't limit yourself to the literal understanding. Does anybody have any questions? Today's class, it's about the Hebrew letters. And this is class number 3. And you can find that. I hope I find it, because I thought I had it opened, and I want to make sure. You can find it on the Revealed Wisdom page link The link is on that, the Revealed Wisdom page. It's in the second column from the left, which is the advanced classes. As you scroll down, look for where it says Hebrew letters. And when you open that page, you will find it. You will find it as under class 3, where it says the energy of the Hebrew letters class 3 handout. Last time we spoke about the Hebrew letters, we had finished the trope discussion. And today's class is on the vowels. The Midrash Talpiot explains that the letters have their source in the Sefirah of Binah. The vowels, and we need to remember that that's Binah of Chokhmah. The vowels have their source in the Sefirah of Chokhmah. And the trope marks have their source in the Sefirah of Keter. And all of this is in the level of Chokhmah. This means that the vowel is more spiritual than the letters. And that is why they are smaller and occupy less spiritual space. And also less physical space on the scroll or a page, because there's no vowels in the scroll. It also explains why the vowels cannot be comprehended on their own. They need to be revealed by the letters in the lower Sefirot. We call the vowels the soul and the letters the body. Letters need vowels for their power. The letters have a sound without the vowels. But it is too spiritual to be effective. It is only sharing. It is only transferring energy. It needs the vowel to be effective. It is like a ghost who desires to make things move in the physical world. He tries to pick up the things, and it goes right through that thing. His hand or whatever he's using goes right through. When the ghost puts on a body, he can pick up the material thing. When the vowel is near a letter, it causes the letter sound to expand and become effective in the physical levels. It allows it to be heard. Does it take a human being to say the sound of the letter? This is a commentary I'm asking, does it really take a human being to make the sound of the letter? The answer is no. The letters are speaking to us all the time. These are the metaphors that are used in the Talmud when it speaks about in the morning, a voice comes out from Mount Sinai. A voice comes out from heaven. The shofar sounds. These are the letters speaking to us. Why aren't we listening? There are different ways to categorize the vowels. One system of categorization says that there are 12 vowels, which are put into 4 categories. Another system says there are 12 vowels, which are put into 3 categories. In my opinion, there are 13 vowels, or even 14 vowels. I add a no vowel vowel to these 12 vowels to arrive at the 13. And the 14, as we will discuss later on. I also categorize the dagesh as a vowel. I have not seen this anywhere else. Does this truly matter? I'm going to let you decide when at the end of these classes on the vowels, whether the dagesh is a vowel or something else. A vowel consists of a point, a line, or a combination of a point with a line. Vowels have three possible locations. A vowel can be below the letter, to the left of the letter, or above the letter. This is not used as a categorization technique. Why do you think that is? And also, why do you think the vowels are not to the right of the letter? Here is a little known aspect of vowels. Vowels have a gematria value, which changes the gematria of the word. And all of a sudden, we can have a word that has exactly the same letters, but it has a different meaning. And that will be hinted at by the gematria of the vowels added to the gematria of the letters, as we will discuss in this class. One example of this is the letter Gimel. When it is spelled out, it is Gimel, Mem, Lamed. These same letters in the same order also spell the word Gomel. So we have three meanings of the word when it is spelled Gimel, Mem, Lamed. One final note about vowels, or actually non-vowels. The dot that lets us know if the shin or a sin, it lets us know if the letter shin is a shin or a sin, is not considered a vowel since it relates to the body and the sound of the letter itself. To help clarify this point, let us understand why a dagesh is a vowel, but the dot determining the sound of the shin is not. One reason that is easy to understand is the dagesh is used for dealing with the seven double letters. It is necessary to teach us if this letter is coming from chesed or gedurah, as the source changes the sound. The dot regarding the shin is only dealing with the one letter, which is a mother letter, and above the idea of the vowels. Here is the chart, which has the different categorizations and patterns. The left column has the names of the vowels. And I did my best to explain where it was, and also which sefirah this vowel belongs to. Let's use as an example the cholam, the first vowel, the second row. That the cholam appears above the letter. It also appears with a vav. It has a placeholder. Sometimes it appears without the vav. And we've discussed many times how that changes the meaning of the word or the energy of the word. The vowel pronunciation is O, as in flow. It has a dot category, and Rabbi Cordovero categorizes it as a major vowel. The gematria value of the Holam is 10, because it has one dot representing the Yud. The Sefirah the Holam comes to is Tiferet. And if you look on the Tikkun HaNefesh chart, you'll see that the vowel in the center in the body function is the Holam. Now the letter, or the vowel Sharukh, the next row, I'm not going to do all of these, but just to give you a sense of them. This dot appears in the Vav, or with the Vav, in the middle of the Vav. It never appears without the Vav. Its sound is oo, as in food. It's a dot category. And it's a major vowel according to Rabbi Cordovero. Again, it has a gematria of 10 because there's only one dot. Of course, the Vav that is always associated with it will have its gematria of 6 added as part of the letters. And it is the Yesod level. You can follow this chart and learn a number of things, including the gematria and how they're all related. The one vowel that becomes somewhat interesting, well, maybe I'll do a couple of them. The kamatz, which is the third from the bottom. The kamatz comes below the letter, and it sometimes has two different pronunciations and two different sizes in the printed Tanakh. When it is the larger kamatz, which is the little T shape, it's pronounced as aw, A-W, as in saw. I'm sorry, the normal way of pronouncing it is aw, as in saw. The larger printed version is pronounced as O. It's not an O, but it's O-H. It's a combination category and a major vowel. Now, its gematria doesn't seem to make sense to most people, because it is printed differently than it is formed by the scribe. It's printed as a little T, two lines, but actually it's made of one horizontal line and a dot underneath it connected to it in the center of it. And so its gematria is 10 plus 6, or 16. The kamatz is our keter. Now, the last two lines here are not usually discussed. They're not really taught in most, at least I wasn't taught them when I was in school. But there's something called a chataf patach and a chataf kamatz. And what these are is the patach and the kamatz along with a shiri. And it's essentially shortening the length of the vowel sound. At least that's what the Hebrew speakers tell us. But those two dots add 10 each to the gematria. It's considered a minor vowel, not a major vowel. And you'll notice the Sephirah is Yitzhak in both cases, but one comes from Keter and one from Chochmah. The relationships to the Sephirot are from the system of the Ari. Please note that each Sephirah mentioned above had the following additional Sephirah added to it. The Keter of Chochmah of the letters. Therefore, each vowel becomes three levels of Sephirot. Not really three levels of Sephirot, but for us to relate to them, we always need to keep that in mind. They're not in three different Sephirot, but those three Sephirot are the location of the vowel, the frame of reference for the vowels. Continuing, let's look at the cholam as a vowel. In addition to the Kabbalistic metaphor of the Sephirot, there is a metaphor of spheres of creation. The highest sphere is occupied by divine angels that correspond to the cholam. The cholam is always placed above the letter, yet does not always need the vowel holding place of a vav. When the cholam lacks the vav, it is called incomplete. It is taught that the word will become complete by rearranging the letters of the Torah. This means the letters of the Torah are complete, but the words they create are not. The same for the world that is coming, Olam HaBa, and the world of Tikkun, which is our present physical world. There is a tremendous secret, a tremendous revelation of life. If someone looks at a verse and can recognize which Vav is going to be moved and how that will change the connection. One of that, we have the vav at the beginning of a parasha that we've taught connects us to the previous part. But in the world that is coming, that will not be necessary. Everything will be connected together. We won't need that hint. And therefore, that vav will find itself somewhere else in that verse. The gematria of cholam, chet lamed mem, is 78. This is three times the gematria of the tetragrammaton, 3 times 26. It represents Hashem on the right, Hashem on the left, and Hashem in the middle. It's also the gematria of the word lechem, bread. Same letters that spell olam, spell lechem. Is there a relationship between lechem and olam? Don't even use the olam in the word lechem. Something for you to think. One of the hints that I will give with lechem, the shortest of lechem is milchama, is war, battle, fighting. This is why we meditate when we sing the chamotzi, the battle against our desire to receive for one alone. Continuing to read. As explained when we will discuss the Kaf and the Lamed and the Mem letters, Melech, meaning king, the order relates to the verse Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Niimlo, Lech Vayet. One of the meanings of this verse is the unification and correction of the essence of time, the essence of mercy. Melech is the past, Malach is the present, and Yimloch is the future. The tikkun of time needs to be unified. There's no separation between past, present, and future in the spiritual frame. Only in our illusionary world do we perceive things as something in the past, or something in the present. And the correction of that perception is to unify the three. And every morning when we say, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, and we say it three times, representing the upper triangle and the lower triangle of the Star of David. When we say that, we're unifying time. Past is the cause for the presence. But there is no such thing as the effect, only in our perceptions. And it is important that we perceive things as cause and effect, only as part of our growing correction. The true meaning of the Buddhist teaching and the Kabbalistic teaching, live in the now, comes from the perfection of time that we would only learn as we study. The Cholam reinforces its regal nature by always being on top of the letters, as the king wears a crown, since this is why the Cholam is, since this is true, why is the Cholam not the Keter in the system of the Ari? And it's a very simple explanation that takes a lot of thought. In the system of the Ari, Tiferet is the Cholam. In the system of the Ari, Tiferet is the sun. So the Cholam is the highest level of the physicality. As King Solomon said in Kohelet, nothing new under the sun, but there's things that are new above the sun. Hashem is constantly creating newness. There's just nothing new in our world. These are things to contemplate. These are things to meditate upon and find yourself in a different dimension. This is part of the process of learning mind over matter. This is part of the process of growing spiritually. Every Shabbat, we read or sing Psalm 136, which has 26 verses, all ending with the words, Ki Le'olam Chasdo. This phrase translates as, for his kindness endures forever. The word Chasdo, meaning his kindness, has a gematria of 78. We learn from the gematria relation of the Cholam and the highest nature of Hashem is kindness or loving kindness, and as it has come to be translated. When we permutate the word Cholam, we get the following options. A Cholam is a dream, as well as the name of the Machil, for fists. pity. Michal, a circle. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing these right. Who is not perfect. Let's do it. All of these words connect to the end of days, a term that refers to the birth pangs of Mashiach, as follows. At the time of Mashiach, Hashem will have people and forgive them for all of their transgressions. World history will then commence a new cycle in the circle of time. This is really the definition of Mashiach. It's the essence of the end of days. It's again something to contemplate, something to continue, to be aware of, to grow into. Here are some other meanings included in the vowel as seen from additional permutations. Lechem, same letters, means bread as we spoke about. Malach, salt. These two words also symbolize eternity, as they are significant parts of the rituals of the temple. The table in the temple held the 12 shewbreads, which stayed fresh and warm from Shabbat to Shabbat, when they were replaced with the new shewbreads. Also, all sacrifices need to be salted. Do you know why? Here's a hint. Salt is white and represents the right column. I'm going to leave off right now. I know I was late starting and I apologize. But I think I've given you quite a bit to contemplate between this week and next week. Does anybody have any questions? Tomorrow we will pick up again in dealing with the reincarnation advanced classes, starting at 8:30 tomorrow evening. And we have a new basic class beginning at 6:30 on Wednesday evening. And I strongly recommend people, even if you've taken the basic class 100 times, there's always more to learn within those basic classes. Thursday night at 8:30 is our Zohar class. Saturday night, the Zohar class connecting to the first spiritual action of the week. Sunday morning, this Sunday will be the last of the temple, third temple classes. And while we will not complete the class, we'll pick it up again after our 12 to 13 weeks of holiday preparation. In less than 2 weeks, or approximately 2 weeks, we will have a Rosh Chodesh connection, so please put that on your calendar. Any other questions? Have a beautiful, beautiful day, a beautiful balance of your holiday. And we'll speak soon. Shalom, you all.
Good night.